Well, please turn in your Bibles to the book of Daniel, and this morning we'll be reading Daniel chapter 4. Daniel 4, let us hear the word of the Lord. King Nebuchadnezzar, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. It has seemed good to me to show the signs and wonders that the Most High God has done for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders! His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion endures from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my house and prospering in my palace. I saw a dream that made me afraid. As I lay in bed, the fancies and the visions of my head alarmed me. So I made a decree that all the wise men of Babylon should be brought before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then the magicians, the enchanters, the Chaldeans, and the astrologers came in, and I told them the dream, but they could not make known to me its interpretation. At last Daniel came in before me, he who was named Belteshazzar after the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and I told him the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and that no mystery is too difficult for you, tell me the visions of my dream that I saw and their interpretation. The visions of my head as I lay in bed were these. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong, and its top reached to heaven, and it was visible to the end of the whole earth. Its leaves were beautiful and its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it, and the birds of the heavens lived in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. I saw in the visions of my head as I lay in bed, and behold, a watcher, a holy one, came down from heaven. He proclaimed aloud and said thus, Chop down the tree and lop off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts flee from under it and the birds from its branches. But leave the stump of its roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze amid the tender grass of the field. Let him be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his mind be changed from a man's, and let a beast's mind be given to him. And let 7 periods of time pass over him. The sentence is by the decree of the watchers, the decision by the word of the holy ones, to the end that the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will, and sets over it the lowliest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, saw, and you, O Belteshazzar, tell me the interpretation, because all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was dismayed for a while, and his thoughts alarmed him. The king answered and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation alarm you. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, may the dream be for those who hate you and its interpretation for your enemies. The tree you saw, which grew and became strong, so that its top reached to heaven and it was visible to the end of the whole earth, whose leaves were beautiful and its fruit abundant, and in which was food for all, under which beasts of the field found shade, and in whose branches the birds of the heavens lived. It is you, O king, who have grown and become strong. Your greatness has grown and reaches to heaven, and your dominion to the ends of the earth. And because the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven, and saying, Chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump of its roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze, in the tender grass of the field, and let him be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, till 7 periods of time pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king. It is a decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. You shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and you shall be wet with the dew of heaven. And 7 periods of time shall pass over you till you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. And as it was commanded to leave the stump of the roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be confirmed for you from the time that you know that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by practicing righteousness, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the oppressed, that there may perhaps be a lengthening of your prosperity. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, and the king answered and said, "Is not this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty?" While the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will." Immediately the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird's claws. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" At the same time, my reason returned to me. And for the glory of my kingdom, my majesty and splendor returned to me. My counselors and my lords sought me, and I was established in my kingdom, and still more greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are right, and his ways are just, and those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. Amen. And so ends our reading in God's word. When the Bible was being written, if the biblical authors wanted to emphasize a certain point, they couldn't, like we can, italicize or put in bold font certain words that you want the reader to take in, to take to heart. They had to use other methods, and one such method was to repeat the main point or a key point that you wanted to stress, that you wanted the readers to take to heart. We actually saw this, if you remember, last week in Daniel chapter 3, when Nebuchadnezzar commands all peoples to bow down before this golden image. We are repeatedly told in the first 15 verses or so that this image Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Time after time after time, we are told that this image had been set up by Nebuchadnezzar. And the point is, why would you bow down and worship something that's been set up by a man? And we see the same method of repetition being used here to emphasize the main point that the author wants to communicate. I'm sure you saw it as we were reading through it just now, but it's in verses 17, 25, and 32. Let me just read those somewhat out of context, but let me read them anyway. Verse 17, the sentence is, "By the decree of the watchers, the decision by the word of the holy ones, to the end that the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will and sets over it the lowliest of men." Verse 25, "That you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. You shall be made to eat grass like an ox. You shall be wet with the dew of heaven. 7 periods of time shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will." And then finally, verse 32, "You shall be driven from among men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. You shall be made to eat grass like an ox. 7 periods of time shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of man and gives it to whom he will. That's the main point of this passage. The Most High rules the kingdom of man and gives it to whom he will. If you take nothing else from the sermon this morning, take that main point. Seek by the help of the Spirit to write it upon your heart. God the Lord is the Most High. He rules the kingdom of man and gives it to whom he will. The exiles at the time of Daniel needed to hear that message, didn't they? They had been carted off from their home and were living under a foreign power in a foreign nation. And it looked to them as if their God, the God of Israel, had been defeated, that he was weaker than the gods of Babylon. And they needed to hear that no, their God, the true God, the God of Israel, the Lord is the Most High who rules the kingdom of man and gives it to whom he will. The exiles needed to hear that. Nebuchadnezzar needed to hear that and know that and understand that. Nebuchadnezzar would no doubt have thought that Marduk, one of the Babylonian gods, was the one who ruled the kingdoms of men and gave it to whom he will. He needed to know. He needed to understand that no, the Babylonian gods don't rule over the heavens and the earth, nor do any other gods. Only the Lord God of Israel does. The exiles needed to know that, Nebuchadnezzar needed to know that, and you need to know that as well. You need to know this morning that your God, the God that we worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, He, and only He, is the Most High. He rules the kingdom of man and gives it to whom He will. He is in complete control. That is the main point of Daniel chapter 4, and we see that main point being played out in two chief ways. We see it first of all in this, that God, the Most High, who rules the kingdom of men, he has the power to humble the proud. God humbles the proud. He has the power to humble even the proudest of proud kings. Now, Nebuchadnezzar has another dream. He had a dream back in chapter 2, only this time he does actually divulge the content of the dream. He didn't do that back in chapter 2, but here he does, and you can read that in verses 10 to 17. The gist of it is this, that there is this great tree which reaches up to heaven, basically fills the whole earth, and then it's chopped down. It's chopped down, leaving only its stump. And this dream troubles Nebuchadnezzar. He is a deeply troubled man, isn't he? We repeatedly find that interesting. He is the most powerful man in the world at this time. And yet, he is regularly deeply troubled by the Lord. We see in verse 5 that the dream makes him afraid. As he lies in bed, these fancies and these visions of his head alarm him. And so he calls the wise men of Babylon together to let him know what this dream means. But of course, like the last time, they are unable to do so. Only Daniel can. Only Daniel can because, as Nebuchadnezzar says, the spirit of the holy gods is in him. If we Christianize that, we rightly say that the spirit of the Most High God is the one who enables Daniel to understand and to interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And Daniel is alarmed by the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. We see that in verse 19. He is dismayed and his thoughts alarm him. Nevertheless, he tells Nebuchadnezzar in verses 20 to 26 exactly what the dream means. And the essence of it is this. Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel says, you Oh, that tree, that would have required a lot of courage, wouldn't it? You, the great king over all the earth, you are the tree that has become great, but you will, as in the dream, be chopped down. You will, as it were, be cut down to size. This is God's decree, Daniel says. This is God's purpose. And why? Why has God decreed this? So that Nebuchadnezzar will learn and take to heart the main point of the passage. That it is the Most High who rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. Not the gods of Babylon, not certainly Nebuchadnezzar himself, not anyone else, only the Lord God of Israel, the Most High. He is the one who rules the kingdom of men, and Nebuchadnezzar needed to learn this, and so God plans to humble him. He plans to bring him to a place where he acknowledges the sovereign rule of the Most High God. And this is exactly what he does. Nebuchadnezzar hears the warning of Daniel in verse 27. Following the interpretation of the dream, Daniel then applies it. He's a good preacher. And says, therefore, break off your sins, practice righteousness, break off your iniquity, show mercy to the oppressed. Who knows, maybe then your prosperity will be lengthened. There's an opportunity there for Nebuchadnezzar. But it's clear, as the narrative goes on, it's clear that Nebuchadnezzar ignores the warning of Daniel. And so, 12 months later, perhaps when Nebuchadnezzar has either forgotten about the dream, or at least its content and its interpretation don't quite pack the force that they maybe did at first, 12 months later, just as Nebuchadnezzar is at the height of his power, just as Nebuchadnezzar surveys the greatness of his empire from the roof of his palace, just as Nebuchadnezzar utters those words of utmost pride in verse 30, is not this great Babylon which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty? Just then, at that precise moment, so it is that God puts his decree into action. And he cuts Nebuchadnezzar right down to size. Verse 31, while the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. You shall be driven from among men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. You shall be made to eat grass like an ox. And 7 periods of time shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. And immediately the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He's driven from among men. He becomes just like an animal. He eats grass like an ox. His body is wet with the dew of heaven. His hair grows as long as eagle's feathers. His nails become like bird's claws. This is extraordinary, isn't it? This is absolutely extraordinary. Nebuchadnezzar, he goes from being the greatest of men. He goes from being the most powerful of kings. He goes from being the most mighty of emperors to being what? An animal of the field. Just like an ox. Chewing the grass. He is stripped of all of his dignity, of all of his royal majesty. He's utterly stripped bare. His reason leaves him. He ceases, in a very real sense, to be a man. He becomes like a beast of the field. And the point is this, do you see the power of the Most High? Who would have thought that Nebuchadnezzar, the greatest of kings, the mightiest of emperors could be reduced to this, where like an ox of the field he chews the grass. And yet this is exactly what happens to him. God, the Most High, utterly humiliates the proudest of proud kings, and he does so in a moment. In a moment. You may not be a Nebuchadnezzar, but have you humbled yourself before the power of the Most High who rules the kingdom of man? Have you humbled yourself before him? We can be so proud, can't we? We can so foolishly promote ourselves, thinking that we're better, greater, mightier than we really are. We can, so to speak, look out and say, look what I have done. Look what I have done. Look at the things that I have achieved. We can pursue our own glory. We can pursue great things for ourselves. We want people to recognize and acknowledge and even bow down to us because we are such proud people. But who are we? Who are you? Who am I next to the Most High who rules the kingdom of men? We are accounted as nothing. We are like tiny grasshoppers hopping around in the grass of the field. Who are we? Who are you? Who am I next to the power of him who rules the kingdom of men? Have you humbled yourself before him? The Most High, he has the power to humble even the proudest of proud kings. But secondly, the second way we see that he is the Most High who rules the kingdom of men is that he brings praise from those who have been humbled. God, you see, not only has the power to humble the proudest of proud kings, he also has the power to change the heart of the proudest of proud kings, so that he ends up praising the Lord. God humbles Nebuchadnezzar to the ground, quite literally. He humbles him to the dust of the earth, but then, wonderfully, graciously, he restores him and he exalts him and makes his kingdom even greater than it had been beforehand. After the time of Nebuchadnezzar's humiliation has elapsed, that 7 periods of time, perhaps meaning 7 years. What is it that happens? Verse 34. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven and my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. That's so wonderful, isn't it? Now, Nebuchadnezzar, this once proud king, has been humbled, and he praises God, and he has come to see the main point of this passage. He has come to see that it is God, the Lord, who is the Most High, who rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. And his response, his immediate response, is one of praise. Praise is actually how this chapter begins. Right at the start, Nebuchadnezzar kind of gives the conclusion, if you like, right at the beginning of the narrative. Sometimes that happens in the Bible. I guess Psalm 73 is an example of that. The conclusion is given up front, and then, if you like, the rest of the narrative of chapter 4 is a bit of a flashback, and Nebuchadnezzar explains how he got to the point of verses 1 through 3. He says at the start, how great the Most High God, I want to tell you what he's done for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom's an everlasting kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. And then praise concludes this chapter. Praise is the dominant note. The main point is the Most High rules, and that is accompanied by this dominant note of praise. Praise permeates this entire chapter. And now notice this, that Nebuchadnezzar knows the Most High for himself. He knows him for himself and praises him as my God, the Most High whom I know. Beforehand, do you remember when Nebuchadnezzar had had an encounter with the power of God? Remember how he'd referred to him. Just look back, actually. Chapter 2, verse 47. This is after Daniel has told the content of his dream and its interpretation, showing to him that God is the one who reveals truth. What does he say, Nebuchadnezzar, in verse 27 of chapter 2? The king answered and said to Daniel, truly, your God is God of gods and Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery. Notice that. Your God is God of gods and Lord of kings. And then last week, after Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego are miraculously delivered from the burning fiery furnace, what does Nebuchadnezzar say in verse 28 of chapter 3? Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and so on and so forth. You see, it's their God, it's their God, it's their God. But now what do we see? Verse 37, chapter 4. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. Now I know this Most High God for myself. Yes, I do believe this is Nebuchadnezzar's conversion. That's not universally accepted, but it seems clear to me. He now knows for himself the Most High God. I do not just recognize him as the God, the awesome, mighty God of Daniel and Daniel's three friends. I do not just see him as this awesome God of another nation and another people. No, I now know him as my God, the true God. There are no other gods before him, and I praise him. This is his response now that he has been humbled, one of personal praise. And that should be your response as well. When you are, as it were, confronted with the sheer awesomeness and power and sovereignty of God, your first and immediate response should be one of praise. God's sovereignty is not a puzzle to be solved. God's sovereignty is a reality to be praised. And furthermore, notice this. Praising God is the most rational thing that you can do. It's the most rational thing that you can do. Did you notice that logical connection between Nebuchadnezzar's reason returning to him and him praising God in verse 34? Please don't miss it. He says, I lifted my eyes to heaven and my reason returned to me and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. That's a logical connective. His reason returns to him, and what does he do straight away? He blesses and honors the Most High God. Nebuchadnezzar, think about it. He was a king who would go mad with rage when he didn't get his way. That's what we saw in chapters 2 and 3. When he didn't get his way, he went mad. And here in chapter 4, he literally does go mad when he exalts himself above God. And God turned him as a result into a beast of the field. You could not get more mad, more irrational. Now, for the first time in his life, this great and almighty king is in his right mind. Finally, he is in his right mind. And what is the sign of that? The sign of that is that he praises God. It's when you praise God that you are at your most rational. It is utterly irrational to praise yourself or anyone or anything else, the gods of the nations, the gods of money, whatever they might be. Utterly irrational. And as you praise them, you go mad. You become more and more irrational, lost in irrationality. You are in your right mind when you say, you are the Most High God, and I praise and extol and honor you who rule the kingdom of men and give it to whom you will, your dominions and everlasting dominion. That is when you are in your right mind. That is when you become truly human. Do you want to be truly human? Look away from yourself. Praise God. Find yourself in Him, as it were, lost in love and praise and wonder. That is when you become who you are meant to be, in your right mind. Praising God. Your God, brothers and sisters, is the Most High, who rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom He will. By His power, He humbled the proudest of proud kings. By His power, He brought the proudest of proud kings to a point of utter humility and eventually a point of praise and worship. And you know, who is to say that this same God cannot do the same for those that you know, who continue to defy Him in their pride and self-worship? Who is to say that He cannot do the same for them? None can stay His hand. None can stay His hand. Those who walk in pride, as Nebuchadnezzar himself confesses right at the end, those who walk in pride, He is able to humble. This is the Most High God that you know, that you worship, that you bow down towards. And finally, consider this. This Most High God humbled Himself in the person of His Son. He didn't have to, but He chose to. He chose to. There was no pride in Christ, none whatsoever. He is the great King who is worthy of exaltation and worship, but He chose to humble Himself. Why? In order to save you from your pride, in order to save you from your irrationality, from your madness. Quite remarkable, isn't it? That passage we read from John 19. Jesus says to Pilate, "You would have no authority unless it had been given you from above." Jesus is saying there, in effect, "I am the one who has given you the authority by which you are going to crucify Me." And they all mocked Him and laughed at Him and beat Him and put a crown of thorns on His head and a purple robe, and they slayed Him and they stuck nails in His hands and in His feet and they spat upon Him. The King of Glory. King of Glory, with all authority, humbled Himself to the depths, and He did so for you. He did so in order to, in a sense, make you great. And how does He make you great? By bringing you to a place where you humbly acknowledge that He is the Most High God, that He is the one who rules the kingdom of men, giving it to whom He will. Have you done that? Let me ask you, have you humbly acknowledged, like Nebuchadnezzar, that the Lord Jesus Christ alone is King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Have you said, "I praise and extol and honor You, Lord Jesus, as the King of Heaven"? And know this, that He is, as we sang earlier on, the King of mercy and of grace. He's not a proud tyrant. He's the King of mercy and grace who humbled Himself in order to lift you up so that you might now be seated with Him in heavenly places at the Father's right hand. May all praise and honor and glory be given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. We worship You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that You are the Most High God who rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom You will. Thank You that You humbled the proudest of proud kings, King Nebuchadnezzar, and brought him to a point of praise and worship. Thank you that you have done that with us. Thank you that you are able to do that with whomever you are pleased to save. And so we humble ourselves before you, Lord God, you who are the great King who humbled yourself in Christ in order to rescue us from our pride and to bring us to a place of worship and praise. Hear us then, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.